Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HunterdonChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Hunterdon County, New Jersey.
USA Radio News with Ron Taylor.
We've spent $2 trillion in Iraq. We've lost thousands of lives. We've got wounded warriors who I love all over the place.
Donald Trump standing by his comments that invading Iraq was probably the worst decision ever made in the history of the country. Trump tells NBC's Today Show that it also led to the destabilization of the Middle East. He says the U.S. has totally lost the war in Iraq.
Led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with John DeMaster.
Protests against Donald Trump continue getting violent in California. A number of fights breaking out between anti-Trump protesters and supporters after an event in San Jose last night where Hillary Clinton was in California as well, saying Donald Trump has no coherent foreign policy.
They're not even really ideas, just a series of bizarre rants.
Clinton saying Trump is temperamentally unfit for the Oval Office. Donald Trump fires back at a campaign rally. He says that Clinton's foreign policy is sad to watch.
It was a political speech. Had nothing to do with foreign policy.
Now as Texas continues dealing with heavy flooding, record-setting heat may cook the Southwest this weekend. National Weather Service issuing excessive heat warnings for Southeast California, Southern Nevada, and parts of Arizona from this morning to Sunday night. And the Navy reports that Blue Angels pilot is dead after his jet goes down in Tennessee. It happened yesterday near the town of Smyrna. This is USA Radio News.
I'm Sean Hare, the site director at conservativetribune.com. Conservative Tribune is one of the most visited news sites in the world, and the reason is simple. Conservativetribune.com delivers edgy and bold commentary of the news every day. We are unapologetically pro-America, unabashedly conservative. At conservativetribune.com, we don't make apologies for who we are or what we say. If you're looking for more than boring stories and simple thought, visit conservativetribune.com. That's conservativetribune.com.
Okay, forest animals, kids are coming to the forest, and it's up to us to make their visit a good one. Sparrow, have you practiced the most popular bird songs for the year?
Of course.
Catchy. I like it. River, how's the temperature?
It's a refreshing 52 degrees, man.
I love it. Turtle.
He's not here yet, man.
He's late every morning. Okay. Squirrel.
The forest has been preparing just for you. To learn more about cool things to do in the forest, visit discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Prosecutors could announce a decision on charges in the Cincinnati Zoo gorilla incident today. Police launching the probe after a 3-year-old boy falls into the gorilla enclosure on Saturday, prompting zookeepers to kill the animal. Investigators say they were focusing on the actions of the child's parents and not the safety of the zoo. A Japanese boy is found alive after being missing for a week. USA Radio's Tammy Rose has more.
A missing 7-year-old boy was found unharmed after searchers spent nearly a week combing dense forest on the northern Japanese island of Hokkaido. He was discovered in a small building at a military exercise ground about 2.5 miles from the spot where he was left alone at the roadside for a short time by his parents for being naughty. His father apologized to the community for his excessive behavior and told his son he was sorry.
Boxing legend Muhammad Ali is in the hospital being treated for a respiratory issue. A representative for Ali says he's in fair condition at a hospital in Phoenix. This is USA Radio News.
Hamilton.
And good morning and welcome to a new edition of Modern Design. My name is Rich Gaderi. We meet here every Wednesday from 10 to 11, talking all things to design. And today my guest, I'm very happy to have again in studio with us live, is John McLean from Rugs to Riches. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Richard.
Okay, let's take a look at the news and weather here. Let's take a look at the weather. Okay. So the National Weather Service is telling me this morning it's currently 76 degrees with fair skies. Today's going to be a beautiful sunny day, unseasonably hot with a high of 88 degrees. Tonight, there's a slight chance of thunderstorms and then partly cloudy with a low of 58. Tomorrow, Thursday, it's going to be a beautiful sunny day with a high of 74. On Thursday night, it'll be mostly clear with a low of 52. On Friday, another beautiful sunny day with a high of 76. That probably means that it'll rain on the weekend. Friday night, there's a low of 57. Saturday, a beautiful sunny day with a high of 80 degrees. Get down the shore if you can. Here we go. Saturday night, a 50% chance of showers with a low of 64. And unfortunately, on Sunday, 50% chance of showers with a high of 79 degrees. Again, my name is Richard Scuderi. We've been doing the show now for almost 2 years, believe it or not.
Yeah, time flies.
Time flies. So, John and I share our space together on Route US Highway 1 in Flemington at the Flemington Circle, which is a little bit of a challenge right now, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, with all the construction out front, it's a little difficult, but people are getting in there.
What is the end result supposed to be? Are they breaking up the circle? What is it they're doing to the circle? Because I never, don't really know.
I don't really know either.
Yeah, I think most people have that.
They've been talking about doing something there for years, and
exactly.
They have construction equipment, and they're working out there.
So speaking of the area and so on, you have such a rich history of this area. Why don't you just tell us, for those of or just listening for the first time and hadn't heard about you and your story, you've been in this Flemington area for a number of years, haven't you?
I have. We opened in Flemington in 1994. We used to be in the building where the movie theater was, and now there's a bank and a CVS is on that property.
That was the lot that had both those things.
Correct. Right, and that's right. Where we started. And when they knocked that down, I moved over to the new location, which is on Route 31 right at the circle.
Right. And your location, for people that are diehard Flemington shoppers, that was originally Lennox, right? The Lennox store?
Correct. That's Lennox. California Grill was in there. A lot of people remember the California Grill.
Petals was in there.
Yeah.
Dansk was in there. So
that's right.
It's a big shopping area.
It is.
So I really wanted to dedicate today's show to flooring and also a couple things that they probably don't know about you and what you do. Rugs to Riches is the name of your store, and I think people under the perception, as I was when I first met you many years ago, that it was a store for area rugs, you know, and not all the flooring solutions that you do offer. So why don't you tell our listeners actually what type of solutions you offer for flooring?
Okay. My business is still a majority of oriental rugs, area rugs, carpet, wall-to-wall carpet installations, stair runners, and so forth. But I also do hardwood floors, laminate floors, luxury vinyl tile. The flooring industry has changed so much. There's so many other opportunities now. As when I started, it used to be very limited. So I carry a lot of different product now. I also do area rug cleaning and washing.
Right.
We do it right in town. So anyone who needs to have rugs cleaned, it's a great source.
Right. No, in fact, every time I'm in the store, there's always somebody dropping off a rug. So I know you're a good source with that and a lot of repeat customers. So I know you do a good job with that. Why don't we break down flooring for people and make it kind of simple and start from the basics of each product and talk about what you do. Now, one of the things you and I worked on was a commercial project and spent a lot of time on a product called VCT. Can you tell people what VCT actually is and why it's good in a commercial setting?
Well, VCT is a tile. It's you tile squares. It's solid vinyl tile. The color is impregnated into it.
Right.
You'll see it in high traffic situations, even in schools, hospitals.
Sure. I think of cafeterias, right?
Cafeterias.
Yeah.
It's a very resilient product. It needs to be buffed. So it's not really something that you would see in a residential situation, but it's a very, very resilient product for commercial settings.
Exactly, and you do see it a lot. And it does seem to have a long shelf life. Don't you think it lasts a long time?
It does last a long time. You very rarely see it replace other than for style.
Sure.
And it really does last. If the people are maintaining it, it lasts for really indefinitely.
I think you and I were looking at a project in Morristown, and part of it was VCT in their laundry room, and that was like original, as I recall.
It looked like it was.
Right, from when the building was built, which I think has got to be, I don't know, when was that building built, you think?
Oh, it could be 50 years old.
Yeah, so it's a good material, I think, and you carry it, and you had a lot of varieties. I mean, you can get anything, and it does come in every color.
It does come in almost any color you would want.
Right. Would you ever consider doing it in, maybe if somebody's doing maybe a craft room or something in their basement, would you consider that a viable option or probably not?
It's a viable option, but I think people, from a style standpoint, in a residential setting, they're looking at other types of flooring that'll be very resilient for them also.
And also, don't you think flooring has gotten a lot more sophisticated?
Oh, it has, absolutely.
And also, I think people's standards are also higher, whereas when I started in this industry, most of the people, I will tell you, 20 years ago, most of the people found vinyl for bathrooms and kitchens acceptable, didn't have granite, didn't have stainless steel appliances, and these were nice homes. But people's perception, I don't know if it's because of the media or HGTV or everything that's out there now, the standards of what people want are different.
Well, there's such a variety of product now that they have a much wider diversity of things to put in.
Does that make it less costly because more people are doing that, or not necessarily?
Well, cost is kind of relative. Like, you can't buy the cheapest product and have the best
results.
Yeah, I mean, that's just it's just a natural thing. You can't buy a $20 carpet and expect it to last 10 years. It's just the way the products are made.
Okay, so we talked a little bit about VCT, which is great for a commercial setting and impervious to most things. Let's talk about vinyl. Are people still doing sheet vinyl?
Very little sheet vinyl, but we're using solid vinyl. They make it in plank, so it looks like wood. They make it to look like tile. If you look at some of them, the texture, you wouldn't even know it's not a real piece of stone or wood, and it's actually vinyl planks or vinyl tiles.
You know, and that is really interesting, and I think one of the keys or one of the things that they've done, because they've gotten better and better and better at making these vinyl products that look like their other products, is they're not, I don't think they're as shiny anymore.
They're not. The original products were laminate products.
Right.
You get laminate that would look like wood.
Right.
But it was very shiny and
right.
Very... every board was the same.
Right. It was too consistent.
Very consistent
right.
Looking. And it was very shiny and very hard. The products today, some of them have texture. It's really like you wouldn't even know that you're stepping on something that wasn't a plastic.
Wow, that's fantastic. What would be a good application in either a residential or commercial setting? What do you think would be a good place to use some sort of a vinyl product that looks like wood or looks like tile?
Well, that's the perfect thing for a basement now.
Is it?
Because you don't really want to put solid wood in a basement. You can't nail it down. You
right.
have to glue wood down.
Right.
But this is impervious to water and moisture. We do a lot of kitchens with it, do bathrooms with it.
Well, it's probably also one of the things I would think is soft on your feet.
It is softer than the old laminates and softer than a real tile.
Or even a hardwood floor, right?
If you have young children,
right.
They're walking around in the kitchen with a glass and you drop it on a tile floor, well,
right.
The glass is going to break.
Shatter.
Or if something heavy, then the tile could break.
Exactly.
These products are much more child-friendly, would you say?
Right. When I moved into the house I'm in now, which I've been in 11 years, it had all hardwood floors. It was hardwood floors throughout. And it took me about 3 months to get used to, when I didn't have shoes on in the house, the hardness of the hardwood floor. It was actually very hard on my feet. So for some people, they will say to me with their kitchen, they're in their kitchen, they have no shoes on, they want to be on a softer surface. So maybe for the right person in the right house, that might be a viable option.
And we're still doing a lot of wood in kitchens. Wood is big. There was a time when you said put hardwood in a kitchen, people would...
Oh, no, it was a no-no, right?
But today, there's still a lot of hardwood in kitchens.
Well, we're going to take our first set of commercial messages, and we'll get into that with wood throughout the house and the variety of types when we come back after these commercial messages. Stay tuned.
Hey, Pat, did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Hunterton Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home, sweet home.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
And we are back live in studio with Modern Design. My guest today happens to be John McLean from Rugs to Riches, who has a variety of different products that he carries besides rugs, which we're going to talk about in detail. We've talked a little bit about some of your other products that are probably not as versed about. One was the VCT in a commercial space, and then the vinyl products that you carry that really don't look like vinyl, that don't have the shininess to them, that have a random look to them, and are great for certain applications, including basements. Let's transition to wood. You started before we went to our break and talked about wood. Now, my perception is, from when I started to now, people did not want wood in all the rooms of their house. In fact, when I first started 20 years ago, most people had wall-to-wall carpeting, even in the nicer houses. And then what I started to see is that people wanted to have wood on the first floor. They would do the Brazilian cherry, the Santos mahogany, the darker wood started to come into fashion, and it was sort of a premium or a nice thing to have hardwood floors. But never hardwood floors in the kitchen, never hardwood floors in the powder room and the other rooms. It was just the first floor, and then the second floor would be all carpet. Typically, that the stairs would be wrapped around with carpet. As it evolved and over time, then people were starting to say, with allergies and so on, people didn't want wall-to-wall carpeting in their bedrooms anymore, and it transitioned to hardwood floors in the first floor, except for the kitchens and the bathrooms, and hardwood floors on the second floor with the area rugs. But still, people weren't necessarily putting, they didn't want to put wood with water. They thought there would be a lot of wear and so on. Then when the look changed, because it's been a long time now, so maybe 5 or 6 years, where painted cabinets are the prominent cabinet, and particularly the white shaker-style cabinet, which we see all the time now. I think that's all I basically do. In fact, if I try to introduce something else, it's often difficult. We'll do an island maybe in gray or something like that, but people are going with a painted cabinet. Then the combination of a painted cabinet with a wood floor is a good application. They don't duplicate each other. So I'm seeing wood throughout. In fact, often I'm even carrying the wood through powder rooms, which we're doing in that job that you're working for me now in Randolph, that the wood went right through the powder room. Mm-hmm. And the only place that we're limiting the wood to is the bathrooms. So how do you see that transition? What do you see with people as far as wood with the floors and what's standard and wall-to-wall carpeting and so on?
Well, we're still seeing a lot of wood in the lower levels of the homes.
Right.
We're still doing a lot of family rooms.
Right.
Because in the newer homes, a lot of those are large rooms. They entertain in there.
Right.
If there's children, if they want to sit on the floor, it's still comfortable.
Right.
Because the homes are large and there's a lot of hard surface downstairs already.
Right.
It tends to be noisy, uh-huh, you know, in areas that you're using all the time if there's no soft surface.
Right.
Upstairs, we're still doing a fair amount of carpet.
Carpet.
Maybe master bedrooms will do hardwood and big area rugs.
Right.
If you want to have a hardwood floor, you need a big rug. If you have a king-size bed, you still need a rug.
That's substantial.
Substantial,
right,
too. And it finishes the room. You know, if you go in a house and it's all wood and there's no rugs on the floor, it's
terrible.
Incomplete.
Yeah.
It's just missing an element. But so there's still a lot of carpet going into bedrooms, kids' areas, where there's still a comfort level involved and kids like to sit on the floor, play on the floor. The big, thick plush carpet is not really what's in anymore. Things are a little more tailored.
Sure.
Short, shaggy, nubby textured stuff. Mm. But there's still a place for carpet. I still do a lot of installed carpet wall to wall.
And I do think there are very upscale and beautiful carpets out there that you offer. You happen to carry a lot of upscale brands. And I think there are some beautiful wool carpets that you've showed me, things that are really amazing to look at.
Well, I've actually tried to make my store more unusual in the product mix. People still say, wow, you have stuff I've never seen before.
Sure.
You can go to the big box stores or, you know, the local place. And a lot of them carry all the same product. So if you go to four stores, you're going to see all the same thing.
Right.
Then when you come to my store, you see brands and other things. I do sell a lot of wool carpet,
right,
a lot of pattern carpet.
Beautiful. Really unusual things.
Very unusual.
We even had a client in Annandale who came into the store and fell in love with one of your carpets. Sort of a blue, and it was sort of striated. It was quite beautiful.
It was a beautiful
carpet. And they just didn't feel that you know, that they could justify it. And we went around and around and around, and they spent a lot of time. And in the end, they came back to Rugs to Riches. And they're thrilled with it because when you buy a statement carpet, and this didn't happen to be wall-to-wall. This is something that you made into a beautiful bound area rug for them. It really made the room. And a good carpet, a good-looking carpet, I think, can make a room, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, anyone can buy a regular,
right,
what I call fuzzy side up.
Right.
But, you know, there's so many beautiful carpets today. And I remember that customer, and that carpet they picked out was just, you did a great job matching the color to what they were working on. And the strie, it's almost like a swirl.
It was gorgeous.
It's a gorgeous piece, right, of carpet.
And you couldn't even find that anywhere. I mean, they went out to other rug places. They don't carry the stuff that you have. And one of the things that you do that I like so much, and the reason that I've always used you in my business, even before we shared some space together, was because you had better and unusual things. Things that you'd have to go to New York or to a showroom in New York or to see. Things that were unusual. And then right here in Flemington, you have a resource that had stuff. Yes, other places, big box stores sell carpet, but you're not going to get this. It's a different level. And if you're doing it in an area rug, you can take a wonderful wool broadloom carpet, take a carpet, and you do a good job of making that into a custom rug. And it's a wonderful solution. And you have something that nobody else has.
And I could also do fabrication in somebody's house. Suppose they had a bow window or an unusual shape room, we can actually go into the home, fabricate on site, bind on site, so that you'll get something that wouldn't just be a rectangular bound piece of carpet.
Right, it would be very much custom.
Correct.
Okay, we have another set of commercials, and we'll be back shortly after we pay for the show. Okay.
Let Stowaway Self-Storage be your local moving and storage solution. With three great locations in Hunterdon County, Stowaway is conveniently located in Flemington, White House, and Lebanon. Stowaway Self-Storage offers sizes from 5x5 to 50x50, discounted packing supplies, and U-Haul rentals on site. Affordable monthly rentals for your personal and business use. Let Stowaway help you park your car in the garage again or store those old records that you need to keep. Visit us at stowawayselfstorage.com and mention this ad to receive 50% off your first month's rent.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
Hi, I'm Sharon Skibby of CompuPay Payroll. The Chamber is a great way to connect to other businesses within Hunterdon County and build strong and lasting business relationships.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
And we are back live in studio with Modern Design. My name is Richard Scuderi. If you're just tuning in or you're listening to us on the podcast 3 years from now, hopefully they'll still be on there and they'll be interested in some of the things that I'm talking about today. I have my guest in the studio is John McLean of Rugs to Riches. And for those of you who are not from the Flemington area, why don't you tell the audience how they can reach you, where your physical location, if there's a website, and also your phone number.
I'm right on the Flemington Circle. It's actually, the address is 1 Route 31 South, in the Kitchen Expo Plaza. It's right next to the Wendy's on Route 31. The phone number is 908-782-8010. You can call anytime. I do my own measuring. If you needed something measured, you have to have estimates done. Just give us a call. Come down, visit the showroom. I think you'll be interested to see what I have.
That sounds great. All right, so I want to go to carpet because I think, including myself, carpet has a lot. There are a lot of different ways that carpet is made. There are a lot of different. There's wool. There's blends. I've read that there's carpet that's recycled fibers and plastic bottles. Why don't we break down about carpet itself? Tell us about carpet, how it's made. What's the better? I think when you go to buy a good rug, it's kind of confusing of what's best. What resists stains? What doesn't? Maybe some applications are better for with an all wool rug, where some as you want a poly because it. Tell us about carpet.
One of the newest things in carpet is carpet that's made out of recycled soda bottles, and you'll see a lot of it. It's not a great product. It's inexpensive.
Right. What do they call that product? So is that what they say? Like I've seen rugs that says like polypropylene.
Well,
it's
actually a polyester.
Okay.
Polypropylene is a lot of the pattern materials you see in polypropylene. Polypropylene is fairly resistant.
Right.
The other lesser expensive carpets that you'll see, and you'll see them in the big box stores.
Right. Big box stores. If you look and you turn, I always look to see, and it always says polypropylene.
Right.
So I wondered if polypropylene was the plastic bottles.
You'll see the best fiber is still nylon.
Nylon. Okay.
Originally, for years and years, nylon carpet was the standard. It still is. It has the best tensile strength that doesn't crush or mat. It cleans beautifully.
Right.
Then you go to wool, and wool is the standard. Wool carpet was what there was 100
years ago.
Everything was wool.
Right.
All Oriental rugs, for the most part, were wool.
Wool, right.
And you're seeing other fibers in the market, and it's really just a price issue. You're getting something that's less expensive. If you said to me, I'm putting the house on the market and I want to freshen these rooms up,
right.
A lesser quality carpet, a polypropylene polyester, will give you a clean look to sell the house. If you're looking to live in the carpet and have it cleaned and have it perform for a number of years, nylon or wool is still the way to go.
Let's talk about wall-to-wall carpet because, in fact, you're right, when you have children or for comfort or maybe you have a house that already was built, doesn't have hardwood floors underneath, and we need to refresh the carpet, you are doing, I'm sure, a good amount of wall-to-wall carpeting. Are you seeing a big difference in what people pick?
I think people are picking things that are definitely just neutral. A lot of neutral colors today.
Right, right.
Now it's cooler neutral tones, taupes, grays. We came out of those Tuscan colors, golds and sage greens, and now we're in these cool neutrals.
Right.
The one thing about a neutral, it really doesn't go out of style.
Right.
I had a daughter. She wanted something powder blue, so her room has a powder blue carpet. Now she's 25 years old, and when she moves out, the carpet will get replaced.
Exactly.
But, we're seeing even when people are doing a whole set of bedrooms upstairs, three or four bedrooms, and the hall, generally people are staying with one carpet throughout the area. It expands the area and makes it more palatable.
I think so, and that's sometimes a hard thing to talk people into. The project we were talking about in Randolph when I started it last year, the house was built in 1968, and every single floor was different on that house. And one of the things that you and I worked on together was uniting the house by having one element. We went back to the original 1968. I think it was a red oak an oak floor.
It was an oak floor in the living in the dining room,
right.
And a parquet in the foyer.
It was
another floor in the kitchen, and then they had a laminate floor in the living room, existing living room. So it was four different floors.
And when you have that, visually what happens is that makes your house actually look smaller because it's like what we do. Like I'm working on big commercial projects. I did a cafeteria, big massive space for J&J, and I did what was called color blocking, and that's where we took sections and we made them different colors. And that makes the space to seem more palatable and not like you're inside of a warehouse. If you have a house and every floor is different, you're compartmentalizing and making the rooms look smaller and disconjointed. So what we opted to do in this case, I picked the original floor from 1968, which was an oak floor, and John was able to duplicate that in the rest of the house and then custom stain that all so that it's one united floor. And if there's anything that I've talked about in the show for almost the 2 years that we've been doing it here, it's consistency is the key. You really don't want to have. I mean, I remember growing up and picking our rooms in our new house when my father was building it in the early 1970s. And I remember the red rug, the green rug. I had Bermuda blue sculpted carpeting, and every room was different because that's what people did those days. But you really don't want to do that. Put the red on the walls. Put the green on the walls. Put the make powder blue walls with white trim and then a neutral color carpet because, again, it will stand the test of time. And if you buy a good quality carpet, it's not going away. Like you said, your daughter's 25 years old. You still have that really good quality blue carpeting. But if you had done tan carpeting and blue on the blue walls could be something else.
Absolutely.
Afterwards. So I always tell people with hard surfaces, with expensive surfaces, just do them neutral. If you get transferred and you have to leave, you don't have to replace the blue carpeting to tan carpeting. It's not an expense. Everything is neutral, and you put the color into the accessories. Very important, I think, anyway. As far as plushness, now I remember in the late 80s, you could not have carpet that was thick enough. If you had thick carpeting, you were rich. I went into a house in the very, very beginning of my career before I was doing it full time, and they had the thickest peach, I think it was 1988 or 89 maybe, peach carpeting, and it was the thickest carpet I ever saw. People don't want ultra-thick carpet anymore, do they?
No, they don't, and you don't even really see it anymore.
No.
Occasionally, you'll get somebody who's coming out of the 80s,
right.
The peach or the rose or the mint right. green carpet.
Right.
And, I mean, I do have some products that still border on that type of thing, but the trend is more tailored, shorter piles. They clean better. You know, if people are more worried about allergies and things like that, you're less likely to be trapping soil in a thinner carpet, and it's easier to maintain it.
Were they plusher because they, not only did they have more fibers, did they have longer fibers? Is that what it
was? Oh, yeah. They can still make longer fibers. It's the same fiber or nylon. You can make it any length you want, but
right.
stylistically. It's
so they do a shorter pile now, I guess.
Yes.
I remember being in the late 80s and early 90s where when these carpets that you would walk on, you would get crush marks from your feet.
Yeah, they have leaf footprints.
They were horrible.
People, yeah, people don't like footprints anymore.
And then the thing was is that you'd vacuum the carpet, and then you'd have the lines of the carpet back and forth, and it was like, okay, if your house is clean, you have these carpet lines. So that really ran its course, and so now the fibers are shorter. And they may
denser.
Be denser and shorter, and that's more that's in. And yes, you're right. I always recommend that we pick a neutral color, but I also recommend that you always keep a consistent color. Pick one color throughout. So let's say your first floor is hardwood floors. Your second floor is carpet. Pick a nice neutral color and carry it from end to end. It probably might be even maybe just a little bit less expensive than having a different color in every room. Would that be true?
It might be because when I buy the carpet, if I can use something that's going to be wasted off of one room, I might be able to do something else in another
right.
room with the carpet.
Right.
But that's not really how people – I mean, if they want four different carpets, that's what they want. They want four different carpets.
Exactly. All right. So, listen, we're just about to go to our news break, and we'll be back with lots of questions and ideas from John from Rugs to Riches right after this.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
These solutions must update laws passed more than a half a century ago when most women were still not in the labor force.
Republican nominee Donald Trump lays out his plans for child care during an appearance in Pennsylvania. It includes big tax breaks for parents and also 6 weeks paid maternity leave for new moms. With Hillary Clinton, the Democratic nominee, off the trail because of her illness, President Obama goes out and stumps for her, saying of Trump,
I mean, he spent most of his life trying to stay as far away from working people as he could.
Trump will tape an episode of the Dr. Oz show today that will then be shown tomorrow. Campaign Chief Kellyanne Conway says the nominee wants to be transparent about his health.
He believes that it's important for the public to know what his basic health condition is.
This is USA Radio News.
Stay healthy from head to wallet with Wellness Plus with Plenty at Rite Aid. You can earn Plenty points on hundreds of specially marked products each week on your favorite brands. Every 100 Plenty points equals a dollar off your next purchase. Sign up today in-store or online at RiteAid.com. And that's just one of the four ways to save. Now through September 24th, spend $50 a week on participating products at Rite Aid and earn 2,000 Plenty points worth $20 in savings. Visit RiteAid.com/RakenPoints for details.
QL1, this is Control, checking in to see how excited you are for launch. Over.
Well, actually, I'm kind of bored.
You're about to travel 17,000 miles per hour through Earth's atmosphere, and you're bored?
It just doesn't sound that exciting after using Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. I was able to get a completely online custom mortgage approval in minutes.
Wow, that is impressive.
3, 2, 1. Rocket Mortgage at QuickenLoans.com. Push button. Get mortgage.
Rocket.
Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLSConsumerAccess.org number 3030.
CBS getting some heat for an apparent edit that it made in a Bill Clinton interview when he was talking about his wife Hillary's health. Here's Terry Moore to explain.
An interview with Bill Clinton that appeared on the CBS website talked about his wife's stumble at Sunday's 9/11 commemoration in New York, which was blamed on pneumonia and dehydration.
Rarely, but on more than one occasion over the last many, many years, the same sort of things happened to her when she just got severely dehydrated.
But the word frequently was edited out of the version that aired on CBS TV's nightly newscast.
Rarely, but on more than one occasion over the last many, many years, the same sort of things happened to her when she just got severely dehydrated.
I'm Terry Moore.
Tropical Storm Julia is expected to affect the coasts of Georgia and northeast Florida today, though also expected to weaken as the day wears on. Still could be a big rainmaker. Also currently still has winds of 40 miles an hour. This is USA Radio News.
Geico presents a voicemail from your friend, Water.
Hey, it's me, Water. Look, about what happened in your apartment with a broken pipe. I just wanted to apologize for ruining all your stuff, and I hope this can all just be some me under the bridge someday. Oh, and also, I'm not paying for anything. Okay, bye.
Water never pays for water damage. Luckily, the Geico Insurance Agency makes getting coverage a snap. Visit geico.com to see how affordable renter's insurance can be.
A former State Department worker who set up former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton's private email server, refusing to testify in Congress.
If it happened to anybody else in the world, do you think you'd be in jail or put to have some handcuffs on you? Well, they got to show up.
That's Republican Congressman Jason Chaffetz, who chairs the House Oversight Committee, speaking on Fox News' Fox and Friends, saying that Brian Pagliano should have shown up.
You have an administration who says they're not going to prosecute anybody. We believe that one of those people has an immunity agreement in place, so you'd think they'd sing like songbirds and do the right thing for the country.
But Pagliano ignored a subpoena to appear before the committee yesterday. Two other witnesses did assert their constitutional rights and refused to answer questions at yesterday's hearing. To a lighter subject, some researchers in California say taking an occasional selfie is good for us.
A new study from the University of California, Irvine says taking selfies and then sharing them with friends can help make you be a happier person. Researchers followed 41 college students. They found that students who used their smartphone to snap a pic of themselves with friends or at a certain destination led to increased positive feelings. They say smartphones can be used for stress relief, and taking and sharing certain types of images can help students fight the blues. Jason Campidonia, Los Angeles.
Today you might want to take selfies of yourself eating a donut or a hoagie. Today is National Cream Filled Donut Day and National Eat a Hoagie Day. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
And I am back live here in studio, Rich Kaderi with Modern Design. My guest is John McLean from Rugs to Riches. Why don't you give our listeners your phone number if they want to get in touch with you. John goes all over the state. In fact, a lot of the projects he and I work together have been in the northern New Jersey area.
Yeah, a lot of northern New Jersey, a lot of work down at the shore also. Mm-hmm. My phone number is 908-782-8010. Because I am all over the place, there are sometimes I'm not in the store. So just give a call and make sure that I'll be there, or I can set up an appointment with you if you wanted to come in at a time that I normally wouldn't be there. I'm very flexible.
Exactly. And John is very hands-on. He handles most of the things himself, if not all the things himself, and you will get very good customer service. All right, so I want to talk about area rugs now. We've talked about a lot of, in the last segment, about wall-to-wall carpeting and the different styles and the changes of taste. But let's talk about area rugs, and it's kind of funny because someone said to me, and I thought of you when they said it, they said, it is politically incorrect to say Oriental. So if you have a client who's Asian, I have a woman right now who's a doctor. She's a cancer research doctor in Hillsborough, and she just built a house, and we're working on decorating it now. I would say she's Asian. So someone said to me the only politically correct thing to say about Oriental is rugs. Do they still refer to Oriental rugs as Oriental rugs?
Yes, they do. I don't ever see it changing. A lot of people who have been in the business for years, their logos and everything that goes with it says Oriental rug. If
I think you're
walk up to somebody on the street and say Oriental rug, they know what you're talking about.
Well, I think we have a visual. I have a visual image of a very formal, very traditional, maybe red or black or beautiful rug with fringe on it that you'd put in a beautiful living room or formal dining room. Is an Oriental rug from Asia?
Well, Oriental rugs would be from the Middle East, Iran, Pakistan, Afghanistan, China still produces rugs. So they're in the Oriental rug market. But you're right, Richard. When you say Oriental rug, people are thinking of a traditional Oriental rug, which is still a huge part of my business. Not as much as it used to be because there's so many other rug choices, especially the younger people. They're buying rugs that aren't so Oriental looking. They're buying a lot of more subtle, you know, monotone kind of geometric.
More texture or like you say, or pattern than, well, like geometric patterns.
Correct. Larger scale patterns.
Right. Exactly.
And think about an Oriental rug, though. They never go out of style.
It's true.
You go into somebody's house, they still look beautiful in the right setting.
And they are beautiful, and they're an investment piece, and they last.
They do last.
I have a rug in my living room, which is actually quite large, which is a Karastan, which was purchased in the 1950s, and it transitioned down to me. And I had it for a number of years, but I never had a room big enough to do it. And I finally did it, and this rug is, you know, it's been from the 1950s, and it's been wrapped and in a enclosed environment, and it's just beautiful. And I've had it out for 11 years now. I'm starting to get a little bit of wear on it. But, you know, you buy a good Oriental rug, like you say, at your place, they last forever.
They do, and a little bit of wear is just part of the character of the rug. We do restoration also on old rugs, and we do cleaning. Uh-huh. But you see an old rug with some wear on it, it's just part of the beauty of
it. Sort of like a patina, right?
Absolutely.
So you have Oriental rugs. Would you say that fringe on rugs is out?
Well, on a traditional rug, it's part of the rug.
It's a look, right?
No, but it's actually the rug is woven on the fringe. The fringe on a real rug is part of the weaving of the rug.
And that wasn't necessarily so much decorative? It was also just part of the weave or the fiber of it?
Well, on a machine-made rug like a Karastan rug, the fringe on that rug is actually – it just put on that rug.
I thought fringe was added as an embellishment.
On a machine-made rug, it is. But on a handmade rug, the fringe is actually –
the fibers.
It's the foundation of the rug, so all those knots are tied on that fringe.
Wow, that makes it really feel like you'd want that, right?
Yeah, you can't take it off.
Do you find with rugs that people are so price conscious now that maybe sometimes they don't discern for quality as much?
I think our whole world is sad, isn't it? You know, they just take any product you want to name it. They're whoever can get to the bottom the fastest is
the winner.
Is the winner. And in my business, I sell a lot of low-end material. I don't believe in it. I don't want to stand behind it.
Right, you don't.
There's avenues to get it if that's what you need.
Right.
But if you come to me, I have the knowledge and I can give you the right product. There's places in a house where you can get away with an inexpensive rug. You know, a sewing room, a little library or whatever. But if you're living on the rug, you're not going to get any – people say, I want to get 5 years out of it. You know, if you went to that house in 5 years – or 10 years, that rug's still there. It might be ruined, but you know, people don't keep a rug for 5 years anymore. They want something that's going to last.
But in your beautiful formal rooms, your living room, your dining room, your formal rooms, maybe your master bedroom if you have hardwood floors, if you buy a good rug, if you buy a good – and you're fair with people and your prices. If you buy a good investment rug, that's something you're going to have forever.
You will have it forever. And that's it used to be a selling point for a rug. Today, like if you say to a 30-year-old couple, they don't care if it lasts their whole life anymore.
I don't think they wanted to, actually. I think the standard is very different. And you're right, because when I started in the industry, people were looking for really good – that would be the reason I would bring them out to you, because they would be looking for a good quality rug. Now, even people with money – not necessarily looking for a high-quality rug per se.
I can still supply a high-quality wool broadloom made into a rug. Mm-hmm. It's just not a traditional-looking rug.
If you have a traditional house and you want to change rugs, or you changed your color scheme and you want to change rugs, is there a look that you think would be good as what's called the new transitional? See, the problem, and one of the reasons that I started to do the program here – modern design and called it modern design. It wasn't about being traditional as opposed to being contemporary. It was, I see a gap in design. Being that we're Hunterdon centric here with our program, although it relates to everybody in the country, design has changed more now than I've ever seen it in the past, let's say, 10 years. It went from being very traditional to being very contemporary. And all these people that did their house in the 1990s, and they did it well, and they had, like you said earlier in the broadcast, did it with mustards and olives and reds and gold and beautiful colors and very traditional look that went with their center hall colonials, that went with their Bucks County colonials, that went with their farmhouse. It was great, and it still is great, but they didn't see themselves represented when they went to a movie and they saw a house, when they were watching TV and they saw the sets in the house, when they went shopping and they were in the mall and everything was gray and modern and cubes and geometrics and they have, you know, scroll with burgundy and gold. There was a disconnect there. So I named the show Modern Design, not in fact to say that we're only going to talk about contemporary design. No, it's what's going on now, and had to take your traditional elements and your contemporary elements and make them blend, work with the architecture and work with what's going on and feel that you're relevant, but stay true to the architecture of your house. Don't you think we're still at a very funny time? Like, I would say in this area, don't you see much more traditional homes still?
Oh, you said it. It's Hunterdon centric. This is
right.
It's traditional homes,
right,
and traditional people, and we have New Hope and areas around where you have old stone farmhouses,
right,
and things like that. So you might see something that a little more transitional.
Right.
If you go to North Jersey, or
right,
if you go to Philadelphia, where
right,
you're the apartment living and very
right,
modern,
right,
you'll see a totally different type of rug, different type of design. But this area, you know, within a radius, 20-mile radius, this is just a very traditional area, and
right,
I still sell a lot of very traditional rugs. They've made some traditional rugs in more subdued colors. You'll see a rug that you would never see in a gray,
right,
per se.
Right.
You'll see some grays and light blues and taupes, but they're still a traditional looking rug.
You are spot on. I have to say, you really know your business, because that's in fact it. And, you know, I have seen, even, you know, just passing windows in other places, or if I've been on vacation, when somebody would be displaying a rug, it is still traditional, but we're seeing gray tones and blues, like soft blues, and colors that are very subdued. And that's really it. That's sort of the compromise, isn't it?
It is the compromise, because you'll still have a look that is traditional and
right,
will fit in that old home. But if you're going with just solid leather, solid microfiber furniture, it fits it. It makes it work.
You and I have been working a lot, or when I have somebody making a rug, a lot on, I pick out a rug that could be a wall-to-wall carpeting, and then you bind it and make it into a rug for me. I like to do that with you, because you carry really beautiful stuff. So when I'm done with these carpet, I haven't had anybody that hasn't come back to me with a phone call, non-solicited, to say, thank you, I love my rug. Because there's things that can fit their space and are very individual to them. You know, when you go to a big box store and you buy an 8x10 rug, you have the chance that your neighbors are going to have that rug, or your friends are going to have that rug. And I've seen that in going to people's houses, that when you buy sort of a common rug, that's what you're going to get, and you're going to see it wherever you go. So one of the things I think that you do well is taking these carpets that have texture to them, or interesting color or shapes, and then making that into an area rug, even maybe in a more formal room. Is there a certain type of carpet like you like to do that with?
I can do it with almost any, but it's become a much larger part of my market now, making something out of a broadloom, especially a nice wool broadloom. You'll see some
right,
things that have true pattern in them,
right,
different colors. The other thing I can do with that is, if you're looking for unusual size, you know, when you buy a pre-made rug, you only have three or four sizes the rug comes in.
Exactly.
So a lot of the homes now, the large home, if you need a large rug, we can accommodate making a large rug. I can seam rug together to do custom size rugs, and we do a lot of fabrication.
Right, right. What about round rugs? To me, I don't like a round rug, and round rugs are out. The exception would probably be if you had a very big foyer and you wanted to do something a little bit different and you've got a lot of rectangular rooms, then maybe I would see a round rug. During the 90s and the traditional years, a lot of people requested round rugs from me, a lot, especially in foyer spaces. How do you feel about a round rug?
It's become kind of passe in the market. There was a time when a lot of my importers were having round rugs made. But, you know, when you're decorating a room, the place that round rug goes is under a round table in a foyer.
Right.
Or a round table in a kitchen.
Right.
But you can't really set up furniture. Everything's rectangular with a round rug.
Right.
And the selection of round rugs now is probably one-tenth what it was. And it was probably there weren't round rugs 40 years ago. It was just kind of a fad, and there was a lot of round rugs, I don't know, 6 to 10 years ago. There was a lot of it.
Yes, and it's changed a lot. And I agree. I liked it. The only place I really liked it is if you had a lot of rectangular rooms and if it was in a foyer entrance under a beautiful foyer table. I think that was a good application. Let's talk about something that you and I get a lot, particularly in the North Jersey market, is stair runners. I think stair runners in the 90s were a really big deal, and it was more about fashion. And you bought a beautiful rug and the jewel tones, and they had the oriental look to them. And then you bought very expensive brass bars with beautiful finials that had pineapples or this, that, and the other thing. And you're rich. You have this beautiful dynasty-looking rug on your stairs. But what happened over time, I think, as styles changed, is that people were simplifying, and they were taking, when those homes sold, people were taking them off, the bars off, everything off. They were sanding, they were making the treads dark and the risers white, and not putting anything. And I saw that for a number of years, but now I'm seeing a return to the stair runner. And most unsolicited, most people ask me for, I'd like to do a stair runner. Are there reasons that people want stair runners, you think?
Safety is a huge reason.
I think so.
Pets going up and down stairs.
Oh, yeah.
And it finishes the area. I mean, just like your stairs are taking a lot of traffic.
Right.
On a wood staircase, you're going to see a lot of wear in the middle of the staircase.
Exactly.
It finishes the area, but you're right. You're not seeing those grand finials and brass rods. I mean, it's all – like at the rest of the world of decor, it's kind of more streamlined. Low pile products, something with a texture, but I still do an incredible amount of stair runners in my business.
Let me ask you about stair runners, because it comes up so often. If somebody hires me as a decorator, it comes up so often if they have a staircase. There are a couple of different ways you can roll a stair runner. And there's some words, one's called, I think, waterfall. Mm-hmm. Can you explain that to us?
Well, waterfall would be used for traditional runner, because that's how that would normally be. A real oriental runner would be put on the stairs waterfall. It would go over the nose of one step, and it would not be stapled under that nose. It would go directly down to the next
So step. It's one long piece that just sort of rolls down
the stairs? There would be a gap between the back of the stair and the stair runner.
Okay.
With broadloom or carpet or something that's fabricated, I could do what they call cap and band, which would go over the nose.
Okay.
And it would be fitted to the stair. It would actually look like the stair. A lot of new homes have moldings under the noses of the stairs.
They do. They have that sort of shoe molding there.
They
underneath.
Do.
Right.
And you really can't staple into that because it's a soft molding.
So you have to cut the pieces? Is that the difference?
You can cut it, or we can still do a waterfall style on the stairs. The waterfall looks good.
Do you prefer that?
I do, but it's up to the customer.
Right. So, no, I could see waterfall for an oriental-looking rug, but I'm wondering if the cleanness of lines, I'm wondering if the other style of doing it would be better if you just have something that was texture.
I think it still looks good. I mean, it's very tight. There's not a huge gap. There is a gap, but I think I still like it that way.
I do a lot of stair runners. I mean, a lot. And even I've had houses that I went into, and I see them. I see stairs being carpeted so differently. You know, stairs are you know, there's no regulation to stairs. You have round staircases, you have the L-shaped staircase, you have two staircases, all sorts of things going on. But I've seen applications where the landing, if there's an L shape, is completely covered. What's that all about? Do you ever see that? Like, you go down a set of stairs, and then there's a landing, and then it turns, and then they just cover the entire landing. Why do people do that?
The only reason I would think is because the landing's not hardwood.
Oh,
because
if
that was a plywood, you know, regular plywood landing, then we would have to cover it. But normally, if it's a hardwood landing, we would be leaving the same show of wood all the way around on the landing.
How do you handle if you have a steer runner that's an oriental and it is an L shape? Now you have a change in pattern. How do you make that work? What do you do?
We would actually make a miter on the landing. So the two pieces of material will be cut on a bias.
Oh, okay.
And then put back together.
And so you blend it together.
Correct. Mm-hmm. So you wouldn't really even notice that it was put back together. And I do have samples of it in my showroom. So when people ask about it, I can show them a sample like that.
And are the two pieces then glued together? How does that work?
They'll use hot tape.
Okay.
And so it's
mitered, so the look is kind of seamless.
It is, and it looks great. That's the way I would handle it. A lot of places you go, they don't do that because they just can't.
Yeah.
And if someone comes to me and they've been somewhere else, a lot of times you'll hear like, the other guy said you can't do that. Well, you can, and 90% of the jobs that I would put a stair runner on have a miter on them.
And I think, you know, you do want to do that in your business because I think when a job is well done, I mean, what comes to mind for me in particular is that you worked for me up in South Orange in a sort of a 1980s townhouse. And it had sort of like a Brady Bunch staircase where it was just the...
It was open steps.
And open steps. And she really hated it because it really dated the house. And we picked a really nice, from Rugs to Riches, a really nice sort of navy blue geometric, as I recall. Mm-hmm. And you sort of did it that it was like on each step.
We did. We cut every tread separately.
Right.
And she only wanted a tread on the stair. Didn't want it wrapped. It was wrapped originally. It was a white shag.
Right.
And we took all that off.
Right.
And we did every step individually. And it looked tremendous.
She raved about it. She said it didn't make her expectations. It exceeded her expectations. And something as simple as a rug on every step, which wasn't a huge ticket item, but a good rug on every step, changed the look of her staircase.
Yeah, she called me after. She was thrilled with it.
Thrilled. So people, I think you should re-examine if you've taken everything off, if you bought an older house and you took down your rugs, or maybe the original house had a good staircase underneath, but they just wrapped it in which a lot of people did back then. They wrapped the entire staircase. Think about taking that off, cleaning it up, painting the risers and staining the treads, and then coming to John and take a look at doing a custom stair runner, doing something very interesting. It has a very practical application, I think. It's very important. I had a black lab who was 90 pounds in his later years, couldn't get up the stairs. I put a stair runner on. He ran up the stairs. And I just think safety for people. Stairs get very slippery.
They do. And if you're in stocking feet, especially these homes, a lot of these houses have large staircases.
Oh, yeah.
Mean steps, you know, hot
ceiling. You and I were in a house in Flemington, a new construction house in Flemington. I almost went down the stairs at the last step. I really had to, like, hold myself because it is a problem. When you have these newer houses with these big staircases, it's very easy to, you know.
It is. It's a safety issue for sure. And a lot of people – and it's a pet issue. A lot of people have pets. They're scratching the floor, and they want to fix that.
We have about a minute left. And the last thing I want to say is indoor-outdoor carpet, something that you do. I'm seeing people really wanting indoor-outdoor carpet on their decks, on their places to soften it.
I do a lot of it. We're out of the season now, but I have a huge selection of it. Again, I can make it most sizes. A lot of it's UV-stabilized, so it won't fade outside. The bindings are UV-stabilized.
I'm going to throw something at you that we didn't even discuss before, but I think it might be a good application. I find that I have a lot of – in my North Jersey clients, I have a lot of young families that are moving out from the city and from Brooklyn into northern New Jersey to commute, and they are asking me for sunbrella or outdoor fabrics that they can use indoor for their pillows and so on, so that if there's some sort of accident, which there always is, they can do that. Do you think an indoor-outdoor carpet, because I think they've gotten better looking, could be a good application in someone's family room?
Absolutely, and some of the border material that I sell for those is sunbrella fabric.
Great, right?
So it's made to go outdoor.
I mean, you can almost hose it off.
You can hose it off.
Yeah, so I think that's a great application. I think people have to come in and really see what you have. You know, there's so much out there, but there's a lot of junk, if I could say, out there. What you do is really high quality, and I would suggest that you definitely take a look. It's on the Flemington Circle, and just give your phone number one more time.
908-782-8010.
John, you're a great guest. I learned a lot today myself, even with 20 years in the business. And we will be back next week. We have some interesting things coming up on our next week's show. Look at the social media, and we'll tell you what's going on. And until I see you next week, Have a great week, everybody. Thanks for tuning in, and bye-bye.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
These solutions must update laws passed more than a half a century ago when most women were still not in the labor force.
Republican nominee Donald Trump lays out his plans for child care during an appearance in Pennsylvania. It includes big tax breaks for parents and also 6 weeks paid maternity leave for new moms. With Hillary Clinton, the Democratic nominee, off the trail because of her illness, President Obama goes out and stumps for her, saying of Trump,
I mean, he spent most of his life trying to stay as far away from working people as he could.
Trump will tape an episode of the Dr. Oz show today that will then be shown tomorrow. Campaign Chief Kellyanne Conway says the nominee wants to be transparent about his health.
He believes that it's important for the public to know what his basic health condition is.
This is USA Radio News.
We love you! That was Donald Trump Jr. said his dad has a track record of achieving the impossible. That was the crescendo of the Republican.